beautiful summer afternoon. And we do, as Wes said this morning, as others did, we have a lot of people away on vacation, and that accounts for a number of folks being gone. But did you notice, I hope you did, how many visitors we had this morning? We had just quite a few, as a matter of fact. And I think we had a couple that have never been here before, maybe more than two. But we had some that had never been here before. I say all of that to encourage you, especially on Sunday mornings, but at other times as well. When you see these folks coming in, help us out. Get around to shake their hand, welcome them here. And I know a lot of you do a real good job at that. But also look around and notice who's not here. And except for things like vacation and so forth, make sure you reach out to them and encourage them or ask them if everything's going all right. Speaking of that, and we had this morning quite a number of announcements of, as has been said, of our folks that are sick and various situations going on in life. And there has been, this year, quite a bit of that. I thought that, and you might be turning in your Bibles to Psalm 121, the 121st Psalm. I thought that I'd like to take a moment tonight just to do a very simple lesson and remind us all, myself in particular, that God is our helper. Kenny led a number of songs, if you were watching the theme that was kind of running through those songs, at least I saw one, and that is that God is there to help us. He does help us. He is with us. The scripture reading that Wes did for us a moment ago, and reminding Joshua, the Lord was, wherever you go, whatever you do, I'm going to be with you. I will be there. And I want us just to take a look at this psalm. You can tell as you open your Bible that it's a very short psalm. And it is a psalm that reminds us that we are not alone. It's a very simple message. And regardless of what's going on, I don't know if sometimes you feel this way. I suspect you do, if being human, that situations in life just kind of crowd you. They sort of pile up. Things sometimes, everything can be going great, and at other times it seems like not just one thing, but a number of things will happen in quick succession. And perhaps it feels like, if you're looking for metaphors, perhaps it feels like a storm in life. You know, it's not a day of beautiful weather like it is today, even though it's a little overcast, but it's a very stormy time in your life. Or perhaps you picture it like, you know, things are getting hot in here, we sometimes say. And the idea sometimes when we say that is that the situation's getting tense. And maybe you feel that things are heating up or that it feels hot. It feels like you're suffering under the heat. And this time of year we're reminded that heat can be stifling. Or perhaps it is just that it's a burden. And maybe the metaphor that you use is that it's a hard load to carry, a tough load to carry, a weight that seems like is always on your shoulders. And we might go further with that, but the point of all of that is, we all as human beings recognize that things at times, circumstances, situations in life are just not conducive to making life always pleasant, wonderful, etc. I'm always, I won't say amazed, but really a little leery of the individual that goes around with the smile on their face all the time. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think I tend to be just the opposite. If I'm not careful, I can kind of slip into that, you know, being depressed and all of that kind of thing. So I have to really work on that and watch that. But by the same token, there are times in life to be sad. There are times to weep, and there are times to be serious. And life is not a joke 24 hours a day or 24/7, as we sometimes say. And you just don't feel that way. It's not natural. It's not genuine. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be content, and I'm not discounting what the Bible says. And that doesn't mean that you can't go on your knees feeling that way and come up off of your knees feeling better. That's not to say that. But it is to say that even God recognizes through Psalms like this that there are times that I need to seek the help of God, and I need to remind myself that that's really the nature of life. That sometimes you get you know, you just despair of things that are going on. You do have to face sickness and you do have to face death. And life is a life of tears in many respects that won't be wiped away until the day Jesus returns and does that. Now, having said all of that, this is not a lesson really to say, let's all get sad. You know, I'm not saying that. In fact, I'm saying just the opposite, that there is expressed in Psalm 121 a guiding principle of life, or philosophy of life, and that is that God is with us at every moment. Not just God is with me when things are great, when everything's good, but I should remind myself, you know, rather than being too quick to say, where is God when things are not as good, I should remind myself, no, like Job did, God is with you every step of the way, through the best of times and the worst of times. And so David said, or whoever wrote this psalm, many think it is David, though it's not Mark, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer or allow thy foot to be moved. He that keeps thee, and we'll come back and talk about that, will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, as I said, it's a short song, and these are the lyrics of a song that they would have chanted, they would have sung. But it is just a quick reminder that the Lord is with me, and He will be with me, and He will forever be with me at all times in all circumstances. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from God. And if you notice in this psalm, it is interesting to me the way that the psalmist put it. Look in verse 2 when he says, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now, it's not a psalm about creation at all, is it? It's not a psalm in which God is going to, by inspiration through this psalmist, talk about all the power of creation. We sang a song this morning, or we sung a song this morning, that is taken directly from, I believe it's Psalm 148, but from one of the Psalms, and it's hallelujah, praise Jehovah, because He's the creator of everything. And it enumerates in that song all these phrases, you know, ye hills, ye dragons all, etc., etc., etc. God is the great creator, but not in this psalm. This is a psalm of saying, sometimes I need help, and when I need help, I'm going to look to the Lord for help, because He is my help. And He is the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. If you were to go over, and I'm not going to turn to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. But if you were to go over to that passage, you were to notice the parts of prayer. All too often, when people are polled and asked to be honest about their personal prayers, when they are asked, what do you pray when you pray? You know, tell me what are the typical words of your prayer. It's been found that a great percentage, in some people's lives, 90 to 95% of their prayer is, God, I need this, God, I need that, God, I want this or that. And very little of their prayer is actually either thanksgiving for what God has done, or praise to God for what He can do, let alone, even though sometimes what I need and what I want is asking in behalf of other people. But those are the components of prayer. You're either asking for something you need, something that somebody else needs, you're thanking God for what He has given you that you need, or you're acknowledging the ability of God to give you what you need. And yet, so many people leave that out. But if you ever read through the Psalms, do you notice how the psalmists do not? When you look at the Psalms, you will note that even in a psalm like this, pretty much a prayer, or at least a statement of the kind of thing you might say in a prayer, the psalmist is making the point, my help comes from the Lord, and he adds, who made heaven and earth. And that's important. To acknowledge the fact that my help comes from the Almighty It doesn't come from some glorified Santa Claus that gives me my every request, my every wish. He doesn't come from, my help doesn't come from someone who is unable. You know, so many times don't you find yourself as a human being sympathizing or empathizing with another person and their needs and saying something, either saying it or at least thinking or feeling it. I wish I knew what to do to help. I wish I could help, but I know I can't. I know there's nothing I can say. I know there's nothing I can do to make your situation better. I wish there was. Don't you find yourself saying that a lot? Feeling that? I do. In fact, you know, talk to a lot of people who are going through a lot of things. They're hurting, and I wish there were something I could say or do, but there isn't, except to go to God in their behalf, who can. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, the psalmist said. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, from the Almighty, the Creator, and if He can create heaven and earth, He can sustain me. I'm reminded, I'm going to hold my finger here and turn over to Colossians 1, but I love this phrase in Colossians 1. You've heard me read it, probably no telling how many times, but I love the passage and the reminder to us that Jesus, our Savior, is our Creator, and I want to read verse 16. Notice when it says, "For by Him," and it's speaking of Jesus, obviously, "for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things," that is, preeminent in all things. "And by Him all things consist." All things are held together by the power of the Creator. In this case, Jesus. And if everything is held together, and I ask you again, and tonight I mean to bring up a lot of phrases commonly used in our language, the things we say. Do you ever find yourself saying to yourself or to someone else, things are falling apart? Everything's falling apart. Why? Why is everything falling apart? And is that what I really mean to say? Everything is falling apart. When Jesus, by Him all things consist. You know, literally the language in Colossians 1:17 is that everything is held together by Jesus. Now, how does everything is held together by Jesus correspond to my, and so many times I've said in my life, everything in my life is falling apart? If it's falling apart, it's got to be because, number one, I haven't sought the help from the Lord. Or number two, I've done things that have gone against the Lord. But it is certainly not that they're falling apart because Jesus the Creator cannot hold them together. He can't. And I think what the psalmist here is reminding us is that I have help from the Creator. If I want help and I need help and I will go to Him for help, I have help from the Creator who can hold everything together. It need not fall apart in my life. Yeah, things go wrong. You look at the story of Job, and I'm not going to take a long time to talk about the story of Job, but we know the story. Here is a person who everything in life was going great. He had everything. And as many people would look at it, everything fell apart in his life. But it didn't. In fact, God was always there, and God was always holding everything together. God was in complete control. No, Satan, you cannot take his life. Yes, you can do all of this. Have you considered my servant Job? He's my servant. And in the end, I will hold things together for him. In the end, I will bless him. And in the end, he will know that. Well, that's the way life is supposed to be. When it seems like everything's falling apart, I am to know that I can lift up my eyes to the hills, whether I understand, like Job did not understand. So whether I understand it or not, whether I understand why all of this is happening as it is, God does understand. And He's the Creator who will hold it all together. And I find that really an amazing encouragement. In fact, the Hebrew writer said it like this, and I'll turn over to Hebrews 13. It's quoted, of course, but Hebrews 13, and I'm looking at verses 5 and 6. Now, I don't know if you read this often. I do. This passage is very encouraging to me. A number of things that are said here. For one thing, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I use that in connection with what I'm about to read because it's not that He was there for the Jobs and the Pauls of the world and He ain't there for me. He's there for me just like He was for them. Let your conversation, verse 5, your way of life be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Those of you in my Sunday morning class, we talked about that this morning. Be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may confidently say, boldly say, the King James says, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And as he goes on to say then, remember and understand, Jesus never changes. Always be there. And I read that a lot. I quote that to myself quite a bit. And what I remind myself is that Jesus has promised that. God has promised that. I can look to Him for help. And whether I understand it, and I don't mind saying to God in a prayer, and I don't mind telling you that I say that, this in a prayer. I don't understand. I think it's just fine for me not to understand. In fact, I think the position of being human is to not understand. I don't understand what God knows. I don't understand what He is capable of understanding. I neither know everything in the past that He knows, and I certainly know nothing in the future as He knows it. And I don't understand always why everything is happening just as it is, but I do know that He knows. And that's enough. And if my confidence is where it should be, in Him, He'll hold everything together. He'll make everything right. I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. Then there is this middle section of the psalm, and I want to spend a little bit of time. You will notice how many times in verses 3 through 7 the word keep, a particular word, it's the same all the way through in the Hebrew. The word keep occurs in these verses. Let's talk about that for a moment. When he begins, the psalmist says, He will not suffer your foot to be moved. And here is the idea of you are standing and something, be it the heat of life, the storms of life, the trouble in life, whatever, however you want to view it. Something is coming along to move you. You are standing with the Lord. You know, stand up, stand firm, stand tall. All of those phrases we use. Well, here is the other side of it. The idea of something in life that can come and move you so that you can no longer stand. And here is the psalmist saying, God will not allow your foot to be moved. Now notice what it does not say. You can allow your foot to be moved. But God will not allow something to move it against your will. And that's the idea. He will not suffer, not allow your foot to be moved. Notice, he that keeps you or keepeth thee will not slumber. This word for keep is a word, you remember back in Job chapter 1, one of the arguments, one of the main arguments that Satan made against God in respect to Job. Why would Job not serve you? And I'll paraphrase here. Why would Job not serve you? You give him everything. But one of the things that Satan enumerated to God is that God had, quote unquote, hedged him about. And it's the idea of building a hedge or a protection against a disaster. I mean, we use that term. Economists use that term. The idea of hedging. Hedging against a future fluctuation in a commodity or something like that. Buying gold to hedge against the fall in a currency. And all of that kind of thing. We still use that idea. We use it, we understand it with respect to economics. But here is the idea of God placing circumstances in life to hedge against disaster. And what Satan is charging God with is, you've never let Job live a real human life. No wonder he serves you. No wonder he thinks you're so great. Because he's never had to face life. That's the way we would say it. God said, no, that's not it. You take away everything that you think is the hedge. Take it all away, and Job will still have his hedge.
His hedge is me, God is saying. He knows that. He believes that.
And you know that's true for every Christian.
If your life, if your happiness, if your hope, if your faith depends on another human being, then you lose. If your hope, your health, etc., depends on some physical thing you have, then you lose. Because no matter how much you love some person, trust some person or whatever, they're human, they'll fail you. I have failed people horribly. And it hurts. It hurts to the core to fail them. I don't want to fail them. I don't want to be that person that knocks them down or moves their foot, to use the terminology from the psalm. But that's just the nature of being human. No matter how hard I try, that's what I will do. If your faith is in me, then you're going to lose. But what God is saying to Satan in that story of Job is, that's not Job's hedge. Job has me. And he will have me no matter what. And the psalmist is saying that. He will keep you. The word keep here means God will hedge you about. God will protect you. God will guard you. God will preserve you. You even see it translated, at least in the King James. I don't know what translation you're using, but you even see it translated that way in verse 7. It is God that will be there for you. So you notice the psalm is making the point. I look to God for my help because I understand that my hedge against being moved, against the disasters of life, my hedge is my God. No matter what comes in life, no matter what happens, no matter what sickness, what death, what circumstances of life, no matter who fails me or what happens in the economy or anything else, God is my hedge. Look a page over or so at Psalm 124. And notice how David, and this is David here, I happen to think it's probably David all the way through here, but anyway, when David says in Psalm 124, and listen to the way he says it. Now this is beautiful. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. The waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now do you see the similarities, but do you notice the slight difference? What he's saying is just exactly like we say sometimes. If it had not been for such and such, oh, disaster would have hit. We would have died if it had not been. Have you ever said that about anybody or anything in life? Have you ever said, you know, if it hadn't been for, and I've used that phrase, sometimes I used it for my grandmother. If it had not been for my grandmother, I don't know where in the world I would have been. If it had not been for, you know, certain talks that I had with my parents, I don't know where I would have been. Where I would have gone. If it had not been, you know, sometimes even go out and do something wrong, get caught at it. I can think of two things that pop immediately to my mind when I got caught and the people that dealt with me and what they said. If it had not been for that, where would I be? You ever said that kind of thing? Probably you have. Well, you notice the psalm is saying here? The psalmist is saying, if it had not been for God, if it had not been for the Lord, then when these greatest things in life that could have overwhelmed my soul, when they came, I wouldn't be here. But He was there. God was there. And I think if we're honest and we look back in our life, we will find those situations, the if it had not been for. And do you ever ask yourself the question, how did I come to have that in my life? Just what I needed, just when I needed it. How did I come to have that? Was it God ensuring that I'd have what I needed? I believe that's what the psalmist is saying. You know, if we go back to the book of Numbers, and I'd like you to do that. You know, he says in this psalm, if it had not been, and Israel may say, if it had not been for the Lord. I want you to go back with me to Numbers 6. Now, we have this in a song, and it is a beautiful song. And someday, I'd love for us to learn to sing this song, because I think with the singers we have here, we could do a great job with it. But you'll recognize the words. And if you look at number 6, and I'm going to drop down to verse 22. When the Lord spoke unto Moses, and he said, "Speak unto Aaron." Remember, Aaron was the first high priest. "Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee," and here's our word, "and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." I want us to look just briefly at this blessing. When you look at the language here, "the Lord bless you." You know, the idea of blessing you is giving you what makes you happy, joyful, really. It's what brings the joy in your life, no matter the circumstances. The idea of keeping you is our word to hedge you, to preserve you. And that's the blessing that the high priest was to give to the Israelites. It is the Lord who will bless you and keep you. But notice this next part. "The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious, favorable toward you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you." The best way I know, and the simplest way I know to explain this, and I meant to announce, it just popped in my head, I didn't announce it, but Oku and Cynthia, Okadi Obi, they became members a couple of weeks ago, and Cynthia just gave birth to their newest child. So we'll make sure to, I wish I'd known that this morning. I saw Oku briefly, but didn't really have time to talk to him. But nonetheless, coming back to this blessing here, the idea of a parent, or any of us really, but the idea of a parent especially, that no matter what is going on in life, who can look to a little child and everything about their expression change. Peace that comes inside because of that little child. Joy that comes inside because of that little child. The peace that comes. The warmth that comes. Taking a child, just holding a child up and, you know, close to your face and that kind of thing. All of those feelings that come rushing to you, that's what's being expressed for the Lord when He looks at you. I don't think sometimes we think in those terms. Maybe not enough. Maybe we think of God, you know, God is so hard and I've got to face God in judgment and God the judge, God the lawgiver, and all of that kind of thing. But how often do we think of God the Father, "I'm His child, He loves me, He sees me that way"? And when you have that little child, what would you not do to make that child happy? What would you not do to give to that child? Would you sacrifice? Would you give up the things that are most precious to you to bring joy to that child? A good, loving parent will do that. So did God. So did God. Because God loves us to that extent. Now let's go back to this Psalm 121. Here is the Lord blessing us and keeping us. Here is the Lord giving us exactly what we need. Notice as he goes on here, and I'm going to close out this psalm, but notice verse 5. "The Lord is your keeper. And as he says, he is your shade upon your right hand." When I think of this, an image that pops in my mind is in the book of Jonah. You remember in the book of Jonah in chapter 4, when Jonah had delivered the message to the Ninevites, they had repented. Jonah got mad. Remember that? He got mad because they repented and now God wasn't going to destroy them. Jonah wasn't that good of a guy. But if you remember that story there, here is Jonah and this beautiful gourd, or whatever it is, grows up in front of him. And it's all beautiful and the shade is there and everything's wonderful about it. And then the sun comes and just dries it up. And he's filled with wrath about that. And the point is, that's the way life is. Everything's going along great in my life. Things are rolling exactly like I want them to roll. Things are happening good for me. And then comes this heat, this storm, this whatever, and just shrivels everything, dries it up, and it's all gone. And I'm miserable, and I'm sad, and I don't, you know, maybe I'm angry. And the psalmist is saying, when that happens, when you're feeling like that, then look to God. Because those things happen so that we will look to God. So that we will humble ourselves under His hand. So we will recognize where the real shade in life comes from. You know, we were out yesterday, Montel and I. You might can tell I got a little extra color in my face here. We were walking around, hot sun, all of that. Montel ducked into a store, and I was just kind of walking around outside, and it was blistering hot. And there was this great big old oak tree in the shade, and so I thought, you know what, I'm going to walk over there under this oak tree. And it was amazing. It felt like the temperature dropped 20 degrees when I went under that thing. And then a nice little breeze came, and I'm thinking, wow, this feels good. And it did. And somebody else came walking along and they noticed the same thing. And we kind of talked back and forth for a second. Boy, does it feel good under here? Yeah, it sure does. That's what God will bring in your life if you let Him. I'll lift up my eyes to the hills because the Lord will bring the shade. When it gets too hot, when it's so hot I can't stand it, when the heat is beating me down and it's gone further than I can go, it's sucking the life out of me, literally. It is causing me to sweat all the hydration within my body out. It is literally killing me. This thing in life, I can't take it. Then go to God. And allow God to relieve me. And that's what the psalmist is saying. The Lord is the shade upon your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, and the moon will not smite you by night. And I believe all that is just a poetic representation of what does come in life to draw the life out of you. But it doesn't have to. Because, verse 7, the Lord will preserve you from all evil. He will keep you. He will hedge you about. He will be between you and the evil. If you just go to Him. You don't have to run to this or run to that or flee to everything that we seem to flee to. Just go to God and let God do His business. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He will preserve you from all evil. He will preserve your soul. He will keep your soul guarded, protected. You can go to Him for help. It's like the passage. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. It is like this beautiful passage in Hebrews 4 that talks about Jesus, our high priest. I'll keep going back and forth. But Hebrews 4, and I want to go down to verse 14 beginning, if I can ever find it here. Hebrews 4, and let's go down to verse 14 beginning. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What is my confession? Well, back in February 6, 1977, with my leg tore all to pieces, I hobbled down to the front of a church building and I confessed, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I'd made up my mind I was going to change my life, repent. I decided to be baptized. Dale helped me down into a baptismal font, not really much different from this one. Baptized me. And my confession began that day. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's my Creator. He can help me. He became, I didn't even understand this that day, but He became my high priest that day. And the Bible says of our high priest, we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Why? Because He lived a human life. He's been here. He's walked the roads we walk. He's felt the heat we feel. He's gone through the things we go through. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And so let us therefore come confidently unto the throne of grace. Come to a throne, come to a God who gave His Son to make you happy, to bring you joy, was willing to sacrifice to do that. Come to a God and allow Him through your high priest who understands perfectly. Let Him help you. What He says here is that we may confidently come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace or favor to help in time of need. And what He's saying there is He understands we have times of need. He understands there are times when it gets to be too much. And sometimes you need to go to God and just be honest enough and say to God, it's too much. I can't deal with it. I can't handle it. I can't go through anymore. That's where I am. That's what I feel. And seek the help you need. There's no sense in trying to lie to God. There's no sense in trying to, you know, put on some kind of air of superiority like the Pharisees might do when they approach God. No, just approach God in the humility. Well, just approach God in the humility you see in the people who went and got the help they need. I need you. I need help from you. Because the Lord is our shepherd. And the psalmist ends with this beautiful statement. This is one reason why I think it's David that wrote this. Because it seems to be a shepherd writing it. But listen to this. The Lord will preserve you, verse 7, from all evil. And He'll keep or preserve your soul. He shall preserve or keep your going out and your coming in. From this time forth, even forevermore. That's a shepherd's remark. Because the idea of going out and coming in has to do with the movement and the keeping of sheep and rotating them around or moving them around from pasture to pasture. They go in and out of a different place all over the hillsides and so forth. Because if you know sheep, sheep will eat the grass right down to the ground. If you put sheep in a closed in area, a fenced off area, they will eat the grass all the way down to the roots. They'll eat the roots. And then they'll start scratching in the dirt to find more grass. Now that's sheep. But if a shepherd is wise, and they are, he moves them out, in and around. He moves them about so that they find pasture. They go in and they go out and they go in and they go out. And that's the life of a sheep, being well guarded and well cared for by a shepherd. Now let's close by reading, if you'll go over with me, to John 10. That's your shepherd. Your life is one of going in and out. Sometimes grass is abundant, it's lush, and it's green, and it's high, and you can eat till you're full, and you won't even be hungry, and there'll still be plenty of grass left. Sometimes life is like that. And sometimes life is not. And you need your shepherd to know what to do when you don't. When you've gotten all the way down past the roots, and your mouth or your muzzle is in the dirt, you need your shepherd. And if you listen to John 10, you'll notice exactly what Jesus says in verse 9. I am the door. You go in and out by me is the idea. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundant. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. All I am is a sheep, and I need my shepherd. And I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My shepherd is the Son of God, the Lord Almighty. Are you here tonight and you're not a child of God? Maybe your life is not cared for, taken care of by the great shepherd. But it can be. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants to be your shepherd. He wants to care for you. Just like that passage we read in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord's countenance is lifted and brightened when He looks upon His children. And their lives are good, happy. The Lord wants to keep you. If you're here tonight and you believe in Him, that He is the Son of God, and you'll confess that, and you do want to change your life and live your life for Him and be baptized for forgiveness of your sins, you start a new life with your shepherd. And maybe you're here and you've been baptized and you're looking at your life and you're saying, you know, the heat is pretty rough. The storms have been a little more than I can bear. And maybe you look at your life and say, life has not been one of good pasture. I'm kind of like down there with my face in the dirt, and I need my shepherd. And the Lord will help you. He will care for you if you'll come to Him. Won't you please come while we stand here?